Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I do want to say, just on a personal note, for a welcome back to those of you who are here in the building. A couple of you said to me on your way in, gosh, it's sparse today because not only pandemic, but 10 degrees, you know, 10 degrees weather. But I want to say from my perspective, this is like Easter after the last several months. But in fact, we are at the beginning of Lent, hearing stories not about celebration, but instead about wilderness. Barbara Brown Taylor tells the story of hearing a presentation of a man who regularly led students into the wilderness in order to give them a taste of life near the edge. Whether they went hiking or whitewater rafting, the point was to step outside their high-carb comfort zones long enough to encounter the untamed holiness of the wilds. Excuse me, a member of the audience said. But are there predators in those places that are above you on the food chain? Well, of course not, the presenter said. I wouldn't put students in danger like that. Well, I wouldn't either, the man in the audience said, but don't lull them into thinking they've experienced true wilderness. It's only the wilderness if there's something out there that can eat you. Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear a story from either Matthew or Mark or Luke about Jesus going into the wilderness, driven there by the Spirit, not necessarily on a journey of self-discovery, but sent by the Spirit. Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. We hear this story every year because Lent is 40 days, and we are meant to reflect during this holy season on how we need to contend with evil and rely on God's grace. But alone of the three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, alone of those three, only Mark, whom we just heard, only Mark tells us that Jesus was in the wilderness with the wild beasts. And while that is a remarkably neutral turn of phrase, the text does not say Jesus fought the wild beast, nor does it say that Jesus charmed the wild beasts. I can't imagine that our gospel is suggesting that Jesus' time in the wilderness was like a trip to the Pittsburgh Zoo. What is this with the wild beasts? Did he make friends with the scorpion? When Mama Bear came wandering into his camp with two little cubs, what did he do then? Mark says he was with the wild beasts, but oh, so many questions. Because wilderness, true wilderness, means there's something out there that can eat you. But here's my biggest question. How is it that Jesus managed to be sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness with the wild beasts who could eat him and also deal with the fact that the devil was tempting him? I mean, because those details altogether, he was sent by the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, was tempted by the devil, and he was with the wild beast. That right there is a very short sentence in the actual story, but it must denote a lot of vigilance and stress. And it's tempting to imagine that Jesus used the God part of himself to deal with the terror and the trauma of prospectively being eaten. But don't be fooled. One point of this story that we hear every year is that Jesus is fully human like we are, vulnerable like we are, and subject like we are to temptation and to danger, to fatigue and to trauma. Did the devil use the moment when he was running from a mountain lion to tempt him? Bow down and worship me, and I'll point that fierce kitty to a gazelle instead. Mark doesn't say. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil and where he was with the wild beasts. Short words, big stress. It's actually, when I think about it, too much for any one person to handle, really. But that's often how life goes, and especially now. Consider our brothers and sisters in Texas. There was a pandemic and an economic crisis, and then there was a polar vortex of freezing air. And now there are burst pipes. How much human suffering is contained in those three things? Pandemic, economy, freezing. Or consider the person who loses her mother, and then there's a pandemic, and then the car broke down. Or the man, there was the general depressive disorder that he'd carried for years, and then there was the stay-at-home order, and then there was a reduced paycheck. There was trying to parent the special needs child, along with a virus out there that might eat us, but also might just pass us by, or maybe just take a little nibble. All too much. For a lot of folks, it's just too much. Our brains and our hearts, our very bodies, were not built for this much wilderness for this long. It's gone on a lot longer than 40 days. Our hospitals, now that they've dealt with the surge in coronavirus cases, I'm hearing, are now dealing with the surge in mental health cases, people in emotional and mental crisis. But many of us who have not gotten to that crisis point are more easily irritated and more easily angered. It's a time of really, really big emotions. And it's tempting to take your anger out on the closest available target, sometimes not even being aware that that's what's happening. This past week, a good friend of mine posted a cartoon to her own husband's Facebook page. The cartoon was a parody of the well-known children's storybook characters Frog and Toad. I don't know if any of you know those stories. If you've ever read them, they are about two friends, Frog and Toad, and about the many ways that we live together as friends. So, I mean, the titles are like Frog and Toad are friends and Frog and Toad together. But the cartoon parody was titled, Frog and Toad Are a Little Bit Sick of Each Other. He was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, and he was with the wild beasts. How did he make it? All that stuff. Mark adds a detail, and I think it's one that we need to take into our hearts. Especially if we found ourselves in the position of Frog and Toad being just a little bit sick of each other. Jesus had angels. Mark says in our translation that the angels waited on him, but a better translation might be they continually waited on him. It wasn't a one and done deal. It wasn't like they showed up on day 20 to take his order and went back to heaven to deliver it. They were coming and going the whole time. As with the rest of the story, Mark doesn't give us very many details. We don't know if the angels brought him food. We don't know if they were the ones that distracted the bears so he could deal with the devil, or if they intercepted the devil so he could spend quality time with his scorpion friend. We have no idea. What we do know is that the essence of being an angel is to be a messenger from God. And we know that God's message to Jesus at his baptism is that he was the beloved Son. And so I imagine that whatever else the angels did, they reminded him of that fact. When he was weary, they couldn't take his weariness away, but they could remind him that he was loved. When his mind fractured from stress, they said, "You are loved." When the devil said, "What about me?" They whispered in his ear, "What about God?" The angels didn't change the devil, nor did they make the wild beasts go away. But they could remind Jesus who he was as he was struggling with temptation, as he was with the wild beasts. And I imagine that when it was all too much, they brought him the message that he was not alone. Even Jesus needed angels. The 40 days of Lent, which we're in the midst of right now, 40 days and which is patterned on these 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, is a season meant to take us straight to the heart of our faith, to the cross and to the empty tomb. It's 40 days in which we intensely reflect on this fact, that we need to be saved. And this is always true, pandemic or no pandemic. But somehow it takes on special meaning, at least for me in this time. That we need to depend on God, and more, that God provides saving. Real life, life with God, is not a wilderness journey about testing our inner strength and demonstrating our resilience and showing to the world that we've got it all together. Real life is about grace. It's about receiving what we need from God's own hand and from God's own word. Even the Son of God incarnate needed help. Think about that. Even the Son of God incarnate needed messengers to help remind him who he was. And since disciples are not ahead of their teacher, we can go ahead and confess our need too. Have you found yourself disgusted, angry, and hurting? God is with you, and you are God's beloved child. Have you found yourself asking for antidepressants for the first time ever? No need for shame. God is with you. You are God's beloved child. Did you take your frustration and anger out on a friend? Jesus has died for you. Receive his forgiveness. Go and make amends. You are free to do so. For your sin cannot change God's love for you. Oh, it is hard out here in the wilderness with the devil and all those wild beasts. But look to the sign of the one who has been there before. The saving sign of the one who walked through the wilderness and depended on angels and lived as God's beloved child straight to the cross. Look to him and listen. I'll bet he's going to send you some angels. Amen.